Good morning.
I think.
Beginning with Ash Wednesday, we spent each Sunday in Lent corporately confessing our sins. We were preparing ourselves for what we knew was coming. We waited 40 days to see Jesus crucified and resurrected 3 days later. We waited 40 days for Jesus to make the ultimate sacrifice for the sins we had been confessing for weeks before. But just a week after Easter, the baskets have been put away, the fragrance of the Easter lilies is fading from the church, and here we are again, jumping right back into our normal routines. Are we going to leave Easter behind us so easily? Or will we continue to seek the lessons of the resurrected Christ? We look today at 1 John. There are a lot of questions about 1 John. The commentaries all agree on just a couple of things. They agree that we're not really sure who wrote it. We're not really sure to whom the author was writing, or for that matter, why he wrote it in the first place. It is certain, however, that 1 John is a letter, and what we have this morning is the prologue of that letter. And I think instead of spending our time wondering to whom the author was speaking, instead we should look at it as if they are speaking to us. He begins by reminding us that we are eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Yes, even thousands of years later, we are eyewitnesses to the resurrection. We did not have to literally be there to be a witness in faith. We gathered here in this space last Sunday to celebrate this miraculous event. We entered the dim sanctuary only to throw open the shutters and let in the light of the resurrected Christ. We were here to witness that light. So how can we leave that light behind so easily just a week later? We shouldn't. It was not just an ordinary light that we experienced last week. It was the light of God. And 1 John is reminding us in today's scripture that God is light. Verse 5 says, God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. But the rest of this passage can read a little bit like a riddle. If we're walking in the light of God, Jesus cleanses our sins. But if we say we have no sin, we are not being truthful and we walk in darkness. When I first read through this passage, honestly, I got a little bogged down in the puzzling words of 1 John. But what is really important to take away from this passage, I think, is the light. God is light. There is an artist from the country of Azerbaijan named Rashad Alekbarov. He has an interesting approach to his art. Rashad uses mostly found objects in his art, empty plastic bottles, metal pipes, old CDs, pieces of colored plastic. There's no limit to the objects that he will use. He hangs them from the ceiling like mobiles and arranges them on pedestals in the middle of blank rooms. Upon first glance, it doesn't look like much. But when a light is shined on and through his creations, they cast amazing painting-like images on the blank walls. Some are landscapes, cityscapes, portraits, and even words. He spends hours meticulously arranging the objects and the lights just right to make his shadow painting perfect. It's really amazing the things that he can do with light. We are just like those found objects. We arrange ourselves into families, communities, congregations, and friend groups, and we're nice enough. But when God shines God's light on and through us, we become something truly beautiful. I think that what the author of 1 John might be getting at is that we cannot pretend that we have no sin. We just spent Lent confessing those sins. The light of God through the resurrection does not make us free of sin, but gives us an advocate, as the scripture says, through God and through Jesus Christ. When God shines God's light on us, sinful as we are, something wonderful emerges. We cannot pretend that there are no shadows in our lives, even as we attempt to live better lives. But as eyewitnesses to the resurrection, we know that God will shine God's light into those dark places in our lives. 1 John is also advocating for fellowship. Notice that the beginning says, "We declare to you what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands." It goes on like that through the entirety of the first chapter. The emphasis on "we" is an emphasis on community. It is saying that we are not alone in this, and in fact, we cannot be the community of Christians all alone. If Rashad Alec Barov simply used one object to cast a shadow on the wall, it might be nice. But that one object would not yield the masterpiece that comes with using multiple and differing objects. Notice that all of the objects are different. They are varying shapes and sizes and colors. This adds depth to the shadow painting. The more varied the objects, the richer the art. Certainly, we have a lot in common with those in our families and our communities, but it is important that we all have different gifts and talents to bring to the community. When God shines God's light in and through us, our communities are richer and deeper because of those differences. In Greek, there is a word that is used throughout the New Testament when describing community, koinonia. It appears first in the book of Acts when the church is being formed. There is not one word in the English language that can encompass the entire meaning of the word koinonia. But the New Interpreter's Bible Dictionary translates it to mean fellowship, participation, sharing, and contribution. Koinonia is not just about being together, but actively participating in this community of Christians. We are not just in fellowship with each other, with those around us and in our generation. Our community is wider than we think. Biblical commentator C. Clifton Black writes about this passage of John when he says, "Christ has made present to a generation of Christians who no longer can see or hear him except by the eyes of faith." We are a part of the larger Christian community that stretches back to those standing around the empty tomb that has passed down this resurrection message of hope and of light. This community stretches beyond our church walls and into the world. And we cannot do this alone. Just as 1 John speaks in "we's" and "ours," we need the whole community of Christ. Fred Craddock tells a story of serving a church in Custer City, Oklahoma, and any of you lucky enough to have heard Fred Craddock tell a story knows that no one can tell a story like Fred Craddock. But I'm going to do my best to do it justice. As he tells it, the population of Custer City was about 450 on a good day. There were four churches, a Methodist church, a Baptist church, a Nazarene church, and a Christian church. Each had a share of the population on Wednesday night, Sunday mornings, and Sunday evenings. Each had a small collection of young people, and the attendance rose and fell according to the weather and whether it was time to harvest the wheat and all of that. But the most consistent attendance in the town was at the little cafe where all the pickup trucks were parked. And all the men were inside discussing the weather and the cattle and the wheat bugs and the hail and the wind and are we going to have a good crop? All their wives and sons and daughters were in one of those four churches. They were always there. Once in a while, you'd lose a member there at the cafe because their wives finally got to them or their kids, and you'd see them go sheepishly off to one of the churches. But the men at the cafe still felt strong. "We are still the best, biggest, and strongest group in town." And so they met on Wednesdays and Sundays and every other day, discussing weather and crops. Not bad men, but good men, family men, hard-working men. The patron saint of this group that met at the cafe was named Frank. Frank was 77 when I met him. He was a good, strong man, a pioneer, a rancher and a farmer, and a prospering cattleman, too. All the men there at the cafe considered him to be their patron saint, saying, "Ha, old Frank will never go to church." I met Frank on the street one time. He knew I was a preacher, but it never had been my custom to accost people in the name of Jesus. So I just was shaking his hand and visiting with him, but he took the offensive. He was not offensive, but he took the offensive. He said, "I work hard. I take care of my family, and I mind my own business. Far as I'm concerned, everything else is just fluff." You see what he told me? Leave me alone. I'm not a prospect. I didn't bother Frank. That's why I, the entire church, and the whole town were surprised, and the men at the cafe were absolutely bumfuzzled when old Frank presented himself before me one Sunday morning for baptism. Some of the talk in the community was, "Frank must be sick. Guess he's scared to meet his maker." But after, this is the way Frank told it to me. We were talking the next day after his baptism, and I said, "Frank, you remember the little saying you used to give me so much? I work hard, I take care of my family, and I mind my own business." He said, "Yep, I remember. I said that a lot." I said, "You still say that?" And he said, "Yep." I said, "Then what's the difference?" He said, "I didn't know then what my business was." He discovered what his business was, to serve human need. I don't think the point of this story was that everyone needs to be in a pew every single Sunday. But what I think what Frank finally saw was that we are all part of the Christian community and need to be an active part of it. Just as the community of Christians before us passed down the good news, we need to be active participants in the community and keep the good news going. For Frank, minding his own business no longer meant being a passive part of the community of Christians. We all contribute to the depth of beauty that comes with the light of God shining through us. The end of this morning's scripture reminds us that Jesus' sacrifice was not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Because of this, our business, as Frank puts it, cannot be just ourselves. I'm not perfect. None of us are. But when we're striving to live faithful lives, we can be part of the community, the koinonia of the resurrected Christ, with those in our own families and congregations, those outside the walls of our church, those that came before us, and those that are yet to come. God's light shines in and through us all, casting a stunning masterpiece on creation. Amen.